It is finally time for the thrilling conclusion of reviewing the alphabet. Just a quick thingy about this episode. Well, not this episode, this whole podcast. I know I always tell y'all to go to Patreon and support if you can, but I do really need it this time because of the not really mentioned legal situation that I'm currently in. Yeah, so if you can, you go drop me $5 and then you can just unpledge. It's very easy to just go in and then give one USD and then dip back out. If you can, if you can afford to. If you can't, that's okay also. But I feel like a direct ask right now might be might be the best way forward for me to maximize this use of airtime and the ears that I have, which is yours. So yeah, it's okay. It's not a big deal if you can't, but I do need as much help as I can. So yeah, thank you so much. Here is the episode. Let's have some fun. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Mental Pecah Podcast with me, your host, Muzaki Zainal. This is the thrilling conclusion of the three-part reviewing of the alphabet. Yes. We're almost done with the Roman alphabet. And I gotta tell you, this set of letters, this part, ooh, it's contentious. I don't want to be political or what. But these bunch of letters, I would say, are the worst ones to judge. They're the trickiest, they're the most problematic, but they are part of the alphabet and we have to contend with them. So we're gonna go ahead and do that. But before I start, let's go with some musings. I had this thought, which is a cold take, because Michelle Yeoh has won the Oscar already. I talked about that a little bit. But I don't think I talked about how this other part of it, which is, admittedly, this is coming from a view that is quite Malaysian. Meaning I'm here, I've only ever done my work here. Very little of my work goes overseas. Not zero, but little. And I cannot say that I have worked in any level of professional capacity overseas with enough time and enough experience to say fully. But I can only say this from my perspective. So I will say from there, right? About Michelle Yeoh's win and about the many Malaysians who left Malaysia and made it big. They tend to, or rather we are seeing that they make it big in a way that is quite like the stuff that you think you can't do, it's done. If you're a Malaysian, you're like, I don't know, man. I don't know if Malaysians will ever do anything big that I'll see by accident on social media, or you know, be the biggest thing, of the biggest talk of the globe. But we've been doing this. We do it, and we have the capacity to. We always have. We all have always had the capacity to do this. And I think there's a particular Malaysian thing about it. Like, we're not, as a country, we're not terribly unique in our position. Like, there's, Singapore is a lot like us. They have more money. How come there's no Singaporean best actor? How come there's no Singaporean version of James Wan or Jimmy Choo? Why is that? I think part of what has happened is I covered this in like super in depth in the episode Nasi Lemakification with Ashraf Mohta. Yeah, go check that episode out if you want a full sort of extraction of what this means from someone else, from your perspective, who also who is more in the know about how urban Malays and like mass mainstream Malays consume and produce media. But from my perspective, I'm gonna say that the nasi lemakification is the idea that only nasi lemak is allowed to be in our culture without censorship. So and the reason that happens is because, and this is very reductive, is because whenever we want to talk about something very seriously about our own culture, we are not allowed to actually do it because gatekeepers will shut it down, people will hate it, and when I say people with money and authority will clamp down on it because these ideas are deemed dangerous or too difficult or upsetting or confusing or whatever, right? On Twitter, I hear of Project High School, High Council, something, a show that's critically acclaimed. Great, good for them. There's also a show called Kampung People, great mainstream success, also critical success. And these shows are showing what? Life in the Kampung, village life, high school life. That's it. These are the things that we are allowed to talk about. I have been, I used to work in a capacity where I would apply for, the company would apply for grants from the government. And you would get these grants based on either your connections to the people who are giving them out, or they would have to look at the basis of how much this is culturally relevant to Malaysia. And it always comes up with, what always happens is, oh, it's culturally relevant because we talk about history, we talk about this Hang Tua level or whatever. And it's always very stuck in that mode of feudal Malay. And oh, only this part of the culture is what we're allowed to celebrate. Or only this part of the history that we are allowed to talk about. And we're going to skew it so that it's, you know, very politically charged and like incorrect and offensive. So, I mean, offensive to the benefit of the people in power. You know what I'm talking about. Or if you don't, is the people in power wanting to insist on the status quo and feeding on their political ideals. So because of that, right? Because of this whole, if I want to talk about the even recent history of Malaysia, I can't. I have to talk about nasi lemak only. If I want to talk about anything after high school, I have to talk about the work life, where what happens in the work life that you almost never see is a person who first makes friends with people outside of the race for the first time, a person experiencing racial discrimination for the first time, a person experiencing cultural clashes, interfaith discussions, interfaith relationships, intercultural misunderstandings. These are almost never allowed to be made into these stories are almost never allowed to be told because of the gigantic foot up everybody's asses whenever somebody attempts to do this. Whenever Namui tries to do something even vaguely controversial. If you watch any of his stuff, you're like, oh, this is kind of, you know, these stories that I hear about, these stories I know, these probably aren't mind-blowing at all. But because of how the difficulty of the dude even pushing this stuff out, it shows you how difficult it is to be ourselves and to let art communicate life. And I think because we have such rich stories and backgrounds as Malaysians, just think about your history, listener, your own history as a person. That story of who your parents are, how they met, where you go home for a year, what kind of languages you know, the kind of people and the kind of friends you keep, the kind of languages you don't know. And why? Your neighborhood and what buildings are around that you never go to but other people do, or that you go to but other people don't. The languages your neighbors speak and you don't. These are just your reality of being a person before you even make any decisions in life. So that sort of heaviness, I think, and how our stories is never told is a background propellant to making us really want to tell the stories of ourselves. This, of course, compounded with the with a terrible decision or, I don't know, lack of conviction for the people who keep our recent history to talk about it. Like, I remember trying to get information from the Department of the Statistics, and the information is just not available. These are recent historical data that can be used to inform our immediate future, but this is not kept properly. If you go to RTM and you try to look for archived footage of shows that you remember watching as a child on terrestrial TV, those shows are probably gone forever because they don't really keep them very well. It's not well maintained. It's not celebrated as our history. So it's very the state, I would say, does not value our culture, our popular culture. And so because of that, I think Malaysians have a need to really insist on telling our own stories until, you know, until we win Oscars. I don't, because other places do tell their own stories so well to themselves. They don't do this. Meaning, maybe this is a reductive point of view. I hope I'm wrong about this. I wish I'm wrong because we need more voices. But what I mean to say is, Singaporeans celebrate their recent history and media a lot, and so you don't see them trying to sell their stuff here to us. Singaporeans consume our content all the time. Indonesia, they feed their own people, meaning whatever movie they make, the Indonesians love watching it. They're already making their money inside their own country. They don't care to make stuff that we like, even though they do, but it's not catered to us. Meanwhile, our Upin Ipin is everywhere over there. You know, they make great movies too. The Raid, shout out to the Indonesian actors who are in Star Wars, good, amazing. But I feel like our neighbors maybe celebrate their own history more than we do, such that when we want to tell our own stories, we can't help but just go the farthest we can and tell our story in the loudest way we can. You know, because we are aware of how, like, shit it is here, how difficult it is just to be ourselves. Does any of that make sense? I don't know. I hope it does. But yeah, that is to say that Malaysians are great. We do great things because, you know, that's just us, bro. We're about it. We're out here in these streets. I can't steal the valor from the Michelle Yeohs and James Wans of the world. I don't think I'm anywhere there. I don't aspire to be anywhere there. Necessarily. Would it be nice? Of course. But what am I doing to get there? Nah, I just want to be silly and talk shit. And speaking of being silly, let's get into the last third of the alphabet. As I've said, yo, these, once we get to these last letters, it's just one of the worst letters. I don't know, I might run into one of my favorite here, but this bunch of letters are the worst. We start with R. Oh, R. Please. R is one of the worst letters out there. Let's talk about the shape. First of all, R, it has the and then the It's like a B, but then the one of the legs are just curved outwards instead of in. It's like somebody attempt. It's like some like a fencer with a stance trying to like unguard themselves against you. It's dynamic. I give it that. Capital R is good. It's solid. I respect it. But lowercase r is, what is up with the that little sort of bendy thing at the end, just at the end? You don't know how far you're supposed to go. Sometimes you curl all the way down and it becomes an N. That happens a lot when you're a kid or when you're writing longhand. But boy, that is such a, in what is that? There's no conviction. You know what I mean? There's just no integrity to that R. You can even do one straight line. There's just a little bit of a sliver. People go, yeah, it's an R. Why? Because what else could it be? It's so spineless as a letter. Lowercase R is It's just a blob of a... Not a blob as in the shape, but like blob as in, you know, a blob as in conviction. Like, I don't feel like your heart is in it. R. Lowercase R. So that, and then this is way before we talk about how to pronounce this letter. R is the letter that has the most mispronunciations, I think. People who have speech impediments, very likely is R. R is one of the top speech impediments. First of all, this whole time I've been using the rhotic R. The American rhotic R, where you don't really roll it. But if you're... if you grew up speaking the your first language is Malay, which is me, you roll your R's. Well, maybe not that sort of that to that extent, but you do roll it. Roll. Kereta, rambut. You do the little trill, right? But if you have an impediment, there's a few ways I've heard this happen. Like, you either do Elmo Fudd with it, where you can't get your R going. Your tongue just doesn't want to do it. So you get your lower lip to try to do it, to do the work of the R by going oh, but this just doesn't. It doesn't work. And I'm sorry if you have this impediment. I'm not putting you down. I'm blaming the letter. The letter is too tricky to pronounce, to pronounce. Of course, people think it's cute sometimes when you can't say the word all. Maybe I'll twy hard. But really, if you're a grown man and you can't do your R's and you're not Jonathan Ross, it's gonna be a problem for you. You're never gonna be taken seriously. People are gonna make a movie about you, but you have to overcome it by the end of the movie. But other than that, you're just gonna be terrible at this. People will not listen to your speeches. If you have children, forget about it. Any level of authority, good luck. Good luck trying to give out instructions. Instructions. Please listen to me. When I talk to you, my rhetoric is very important. Dumb. You sound dumb. I'm sorry if you have this. I blame the letter, not your fault. And there's also another way to do this R thing, which is my late grandma has this. And she would say R. Are you thinking about how it sounds? Are you thinking about it? Yeah? Because I'm going to do it. This is how she does her R's. Roti. You just straight up, instead of using the tip of your tongue, you just bring the back of the tongue into the game, like brr, and it becomes just rrr. What an amazing, amazing way to roll your R's. Sorry, I can't really pronounce the letter. My R starts right at the back of my throat. That is such an egregious way to mispronounce a letter. Imagine. Like, I don't know if you're synesthetic, but if a regular R is a guy who is on a jet ski, the R is just a guy being pulled behind it on a string, and he's half swimming and half underwater. You get what I mean, right? Irresistible. Come on. Please sit down. Please. Impossible. Like, I know somebody, I have a friend whose name is Carol. Like, that's his name. His name is R that he can't pronounce. Problems. Anyway, I don't want to expound more on how you can mispronounce R, because you can probably find other unique, wonderful ways to mispronounce it, because it is a tricky letter. And based off of that, and how difficult it is, here's how tricky that R is. In Spanish, there's two R's, like pero and perro. How, you're fucked if you can't do either of those things. You know? How is a whole language inaccessible to you because of a letter? That's problems. So because of this, you are a contentious letter. For people to have this letter as their favorite, I think it signals somebody who is very confident in their pronunciation of letters. They use sound effects when they talk, you know? Vroom, vroom. Brrr, brr, brr, brr. They like that. Great. Good for you. But you're also not inclusive. You choose things because they're different than other people, and you're not necessarily using it to be different. You're not necessarily excluding people, but you're not really thinking of people who are not as capable as you are when you choose letters. When you choose favorite things. And that's you, and that's not wrong. It's just who you are. You are as a favorite letter having exclusionary asshole. I'm sorry, you're not an asshole. You're just problematic. Okay. Now. S. S is not any better than R, I gotta say. S is also that... Okay, let's start with the shape. Like a snake shape. Oh, okay, cool. The smaller S is the same, but just smaller, alright? Not creative, but whatever. S is one of those tricky things to write, actually. As a child, S is one of those letters you would get reversed a lot of the time. You think you're going this way, and you're like, oh, I know how to do S. You just go wiggly-wiggly. But then you start your wiggle in the wrong place, and then you go, gone. That's why the shape is tricky. It's cool. It's a cool shape. The wiggliness brings with it some intrigue. The waviness is inviting and dynamic. But it is not strong. It is not structurally solid. It might swing one way or the other. It's a sway prone letter. Which means I don't think I can give it great marks for that. The pronunciation, oh boy. We know how so many people can mispronounce this. And it's so common, this impediment. There's a name specifically for this impediment, which is a lisp. There are people who pronounce their eth with a th sound by not being able to do the sibilant S, which is to get the air out from between your teeth, they let their tongue do it. So they go th instead of s. And I'm sorry for these people, but they just don't really sound... If they do a speech, it's not going to be convincing. But there's degrees of lispness as well. Like, there's the Cody Rhodes Sadiq level of lisp, where... They use their tongue not as a TH sound, but closer to the sibilant, you know, between the teeth sounds. But they use their tongue instead of the bottom row of the teeth. So the S's might sound like this. Like they hiss a little bit when they speak. And for these people, you can notice it. You can think it's adorable, but I don't know, man. I don't blame the people who speak. I blame the letter. This is a difficult letter to pronounce and to produce the sound. Here's how bad the letter S is. In the game, I have a DS, or I used to have a Nintendo DS, and it has a microphone. And some games invite you to use the microphone. And one of the earlier games I got for it was the Nintendogs. And in that game, you can give your dog commands, right? Roll over. Come, or whatever the dog doesn't really understand what words are. They just they know the sounds, and then you teach them what to do and they'll just associate the sound, right? But the microphone can barely pick up S for some reason. And I think it's because it's not a voiced consonant. I don't know what that means. I know I just said voiced consonant, but I don't know what that means. So I think it's because by itself, if I say sit down, the microphone will hear it and then we'll play it back and will sound like sit down. And I'm like, why are you translating my S into this hissing from an alternate dimension? Like, it sounds so like demonic. It's because S's are a difficult thing to say. Sometimes you really don't want to hear the S, the hiss. And it's bad as a letter. It's as a sound. If I don't have to have S a lot, I'll be very happy. But unfortunately, it does appear, and it's barely there, really. S's, you know what I mean? Ugh, so annoying. If humans never use the sound S, we would hear snakes more often. We can avoid the death of so many people through snake bites, just by knowing that only snakes make that noise. Alas, we have entire languages where there's multiple S sounds that you have to pay attention to. What a dangerous and deadly, fatal letter. Bad letter. If your favorite letter is S, you think you're sexy, but not really. You're just kind of annoying. You might have this idea in your head that you're a smoldering dude, kind of like, but nah. No, shut up about it. S is as a letter, if it's your favorite, great. You like wavy, curvy things. You like a little, you know, W turn. You like those little curly Q's. Good. You maybe are really good at writing cursive. Or maybe you're a good dancer. Maybe you have a good sense of rhythm. Great. Cool. Good for you. But know that other people think you are annoying. Some other people won't even acknowledge that is the letter. They'll just say a different noise. And you're just going to have to accept that people can't make the noise that you're making. You're just going to have to be okay with that. Good luck. The next letter is T. One of the few letters where we go, all right, okay, let's chill now. Let's have a normal letter for once. T is good. I like T. First of all, the shape, amazing. Good, solid. One stick and then another plank up top with a hat. Has a little hat on it. Great. And then when it's small, the hat just drops down a little bit. Oh. What is there to say against this letter T? Not much. Because it's a strong letter. T-t-t-t. It sounds like a hi-hat. T-t-t-t-t-t. It's a top letter. Totally. Terrific. I think it's a tremendous letter. It has emphasis, pretty strong emphasis, without being plosive, without being too, you know, too much air coming out of your mouth. T, t, t. It's gentle but percussive. It's firm yet gentle. I like that. It's a good quality to have in a letter. T, t, t. Ta-da! Great. The only concern with T is the lowercase t is also the symbol for Christianity. For a whole religion, lowercase t. They hang on the necks, it's on the door to the house, it's on top of the buildings, and it means a whole different set of values that is exclusive from other people who don't understand their lowercase t. And I'm like, that is a lot of heavy symbolism to be carried by a letter, you know? That's gonna be heavy. And you're just trying to spell words, but somebody has that thing, somebody carries a T, suddenly you can, you know, it suddenly can be contentious. It can be political, even worse, can be a religious argument, you know? You remember the Crusades? People died because of a letter? That's too much weight to put on a letter. As much of its, you know, pros I can give to it because of how good it sounds and how great the shape is, I have to dock points because of how heavy it is as a symbol. You can't have a lowercase t just carrying around on your person. You gotta be sure you're in the right country, speaking the right language, wearing the right clothes. And that is dangerous. I told you, man, the final third of the alphabet is a problem. There's a whole gang of letters that are all causing problems. And unfortunately, T is one of them. Even though, you know, tea is good, it's a great drink, keeps you regular, helps you sleep. Those are all things that are respectful as far as the letter T goes. But, bro, god dang. Troubles. Very unsafe letter. Oof, terrible. I'm sorry, T. You're not high on the list. If your favorite letter is T, be careful where you carry it. Okay? Just be careful. I respect you. I'm glad you're around. You have a good sense of rhythm. You are firm but gentle. But boy, don't just carry that shit around. All right. Our next letter is U. U might be another one of the gentler parts of the, where we enter into some reprieve, you know? Some respite among this gang of difficult letters. U is the shape is like it's a curve, whoop. And then the smaller one is just a smaller curve. Wait. Cute. Adorable. I like it. It is precarious though. It might tip over. U is useful, is very useful. It shows you what kind of turn you can make. The U-turn. It is a whole word. It is you. You know, you, the listener. It is less narcissistic than I. It is the opposite, actually. It's quite selfless. You. However, the selflessness is only monodirectionally targeted. You know what I mean? It is in one direction, which is outwards. It's not necessarily us or we. It is you. And that's not wrong. It's just a feature of it. You. You starts a lot of negative words because of the un prefix. You know, unrest, uneasy, unavailable, unstuck is a good thing. Undesirable, bad. But negatives can be doubled and it can be a good thing. You know, undeniable, unbelievable. But also U is for understanding, and that's a good thing. U is one of those letters that tries best to help out. I like it that it's there. It is one of those letters that do quite a lot of work in words like tremendous, stupendous, delicious, magnanimous, you know, just the U hanging out with O there and just helping it along. It's underrated, I think. U is quite underrated. I give it high marks for being a workhorse. Of course it's a workhorse, because it's shaped like a horseshoe, kind of. So, shout out to you. If U is your favorite letter, then you work a lot. You have a lot of hands in different pies. You wear a lot of hats. But also, you may have to take down your people-pleasing things a couple of notches. You don't have to always think about you. Think about you. Like you. Not the second person, but think about yourself. That's what I mean. If your favorite letter is U, reconsider. Maybe it's I, or maybe it's some other letter that is actually your favorite, instead of looking at you, the second person, and trying to please them, find out what they want. you know? That's you. And that's you. The next letter is V. Oh, all right. V. V, you would think V doesn't appear a lot, but it does. But before the appearances, let's talk about the shape. Here's a peace sign and a smaller one. Okay. Fine. These are Roman letters, so V also is 5. I don't know why either. V, you would think, is like, does it appear a lot, but it does. Not at the front, but it's a suffix, you know, positive, negative, cumulative. So that's where it appears in a way that's good, as a way that is great. V also has a breakout role in V for Vendetta, appearing everywhere in that movie. And if you wear that Guy Fawkes mask now, people call that a V for Vendetta mask, and that is great for, like, it really gave V a lot of stock, you know? Like, people start looking up to V, going, yeah, that is actually a cool letter. Whereas before, it would just fade in the background. You know, you just stay at the end of a letter, you know. You might not even notice it. Like in Dwarves. What? Is there a V there? Oh, I didn't even know. V appears in symbology in a good way. It is the peace sign if you do it with your hands. That's very popular, still is in Japan. People do the upside down V now. Great. Good for that. I'm happy for you, V. V also cheekily appears as a chevron in, like, directional symbols, you know, like an arrow will sometimes not be an arrow, just be a V on its side. I'm like, hey, that's a V. I know what that is. But like, V is like, no, no, I'm an arrow. You're not an arrow. Shut up. Arrows have a long bit. V also cheekily appears in French. Like, quote marks in French are not like the rabbit ears. They are actually double Vs, and that's like, what? Why? I guess it's to give V more work. Otherwise, V won't really show up a lot. I'm glad that he got the gig doing chevrons and pointing at things. You know, it's a good shape to do that. Congratulations, you are almost a triangle, and so we use that for pointing. You're almost an arrow. Great, good. V is great for that purpose. The V also has this problem of difficult to pronounce, like the pronunciation problem. Some people confuse their V and their W. They'll say the letter V, and I'm like, dang, it is a difficult letter for everybody to properly pronounce, and that knocks it down a little bit. V also is not great as a letter; it's great as a symbol when you rotate it and it appears in a bunch of places. So for that, I have to put it somewhere upper mid. V is good. If your favorite letter is V, then know that victory is in your hands. You're a lot of a verve, you know. Maybe if you're not victorious in your life, you can achieve that vicariously through maybe like a vision or through other people. And it's you like that letter, you're good, you are in a lot of different places, but not in the way that you're supposed to be used. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're the fifth member of the Beatles whose job it is to bring everybody sandwiches. Like, I thought you were a musician. Oh no, I'm just really good at this other thing. You know, the Beatles have Ringo, who's not even the best drummer in the Beatles, and his position there in the Beatles was to be the main character in their movies. That's you. If your favorite letter is V, shout out to V. It's a good place to be. It's weird, but it is a real place. Congratulations.
We are proud to interrupt this rambling nonsense to bring you an important message from our sponsors.
Hello, dear listener. Do you know about patreon.com/pinballmonkeys? I mean, you know about it. I talk about it every episode. But did you know that that's one of the only ways to support this podcast. This podcast costs resources, time and money, and also it costs a lot of energy. And as low as 5 ringgit a month, you can go over at Patreon and support this podcast. Just go to patreon.com/pinballmonkeys and do the little details over there. And as low as 5 ringgit a month, you get to enjoy video versions of this podcast, including extra content. You get to find out where Anwar has been hanging out, what he's been doing. You get to listen to cool audio sketches and behind the scenes content. And you can participate in a direct conversation about the future of Pinball Monkeys and the other projects that are related to Mental Pecah. So I think that's cool. You know, also you get to support art directly. Usually, you know, you give gigantic corporations this money, but why not support stuff directly? Support your local thing. Be part of the community. Thank you so much for the people who have already participated and pledged their hard-earned cash to this enterprise. These people are, of course, Aisha, Sarah Roger, Faza Fauzi, Arina, Amanda, Anwar, Nick Hanis, Daniel Imran, Alia, Sabrina, Mayamin, Safri, Zan Belik, Nick Dorville, Farid Zahir, Ilisar, Virus, Siti Fatima, and Lukman alias. If you want me to shout out your name in this ad break read thing, go over on Patreon and give us a little pledgy. You can cancel anytime as well. I know times are tough, but that's why I'm doing this, because I I need legal fees. Thank you for your support. That's all.
Thank you for your kind attention. Now, despite popular demand, we return to the podcast.
Next, W. W. What the hell? First of all, the shape. It can be like, it's two V's. It's more stable than a V. It's an upside down M. M, one of the most stable letters. But turned upside down, it gets a little tricky. But doable. And then a smaller W is just literally a smaller W. Not much creativity there. Here's the thing about W. W doesn't even have its own name. It's just a double U. What? Have your own name. No other letter is like... Imagine if you call Q O with a stick. That's what it sounds like. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, O with a stick. That's what it sounds like when you say W. U, V, W. What? What? Is U again? It's U twice. No, just have... Wah. What about wah? U, V, wah, X, Y, Z. Just give yourself more of an identity. W. Do you imagine? What? Be serious. In French, W is W, which is double V. Come on, W, please. I have to judge all these letters based on their own, you know, merit. And what they bring to the table. You are not even here to be yourself. You're here just as a double of another letter. Of other letters. You're not even here as your own letter. You are here as other letters. Believe in yourself, please. The sooner you do this, the better it'll be for everybody. W, come on now. Alright. As a sound... W also counters the tricky impediment thing. People sometimes, I hear this, they say, oh, I don't know how to talk to women. I'm like, ooh, ooh, whoa, what happened to your W there, bro? Did you forget that it's W's? Anyway. I don't blame the speaker, I blame the letter. The W is in the Arabic. I don't want to confuse the Arabic thing, but the sound. And in Arabic, the sound W is a vowel. Arabic doesn't even pretend that there's a W. It's like, no, it's not W, it's U. They just put the U there and like, you know how to pronounce it. It's W. Because W and U is the same mouth shape. U. Right? Are you getting it? Right. Wow, the letter in Arabic is the same sound as U, and also W if it starts a word. Am I explaining this correctly? So, yeah, anyway. The Arabs know that W and U are the same letter. But the Romans are like, nah, man, is the same letter twice. Bullshit. Stop it. No. Even as a sound, it's just so redundant. Just put U there. Wonderful. Wonderful, right? Replace that W with U. You will say it the same way. Wonderful. Come on. Like, if we really look at ourselves, we really examine ourselves, look ourselves in the mirror, what is W doing there? What are you doing? What? Why? Where? Who put you in charge? Embarrassing. If your favorite letter is W, you are too shy to say that your favorite letter is another thing. You want two other letters, actually. You want two other letters. But you're like, I'll take this one that's twice this other letter secretly. Shut up. Just take two things. You're undecisive. You don't know yourself. You have no idea what you are yet. You're wandering still. You sit down by yourself. You go, man, who am I? That's you. If your favorite letter is W. If your favorite letter is W, that's you. Twice. Stop it. Okay. X. Here we go. I would put X right up there with Q as far as how cool it looks. It is two lines crossed, and then the smaller one is the smaller one. Yo, such a cool letter. It is as a function of the alphabet to form words. X is not great. We know xylophone. That's it. Where else is the X going? It's going at the end of words. Fox, fix, fixture, fax, tax. Okay, great, cool. But really, X is like V. It functions more as a symbol. Meaning it shines more as a symbol is what I meant to say. X appears to mark the spot where pirates have buried the treasure. X appears when you are wrong about something. You will get that big red X. X is a kiss you give somebody on your little text messages or a letter if you were born in the 1900s. X also means the unknown. If you say, yo, Mr. X is blah blah blah, that guy is a mysterious dude, but he's also important. You know what I mean? If it's Mr. Question Mark, you're like, who the hell is Question Mark? Shut up. But if Mr. X, you're like, oh, dang, it's X, bro. What's going on? It's cool. It's mysterious. X-Files, baby. Come on. Triple X. Tentacion. DMX. X is such a great letter. It's cool. It's mysterious. It has a sort of a sci-fi vibe. It does a lot of work in marking kisses and maps. And it also is in the middle of collaborations. That's how X is. That's how cool X is. You know? Like, Uniqlo X Pokemon. And then there's X in the middle. Oh, man. Come on. When you see X next to your favorite brands, you can't wait to see what kind of collaboration this is. X brings people together. Oh, such a good letter. The bright shining star in a group of really problematic letters. X is up there. If your favorite letter is X, though, you're probably a child. Like, you're a toddler who's just learning your alphabet, and you're like, man, X looks so cool. That's my favorite. It sounds like something I said about the letter A being basic. But X is even more basic than basic, because X is so easy to draw, and it doesn't have any connotation towards being the best. It just looks so, like, different from all the other letters. You really want it immediately. It is the first time where you are crossing a line fully with another line. Writing X is like writing the letter I and then going no with another I. Oh, negation within multiplication. Shout out to X, man. X is your favorite letter. You might be a toddler. It is sort of one of the basic favorite letters. I would say, if your favorite letter is X, you don't even like letters. You might just like the symbol for multiplication. You might just like collaborations. You might just like the symbol X in tic-tac-toe. you are somebody who likes symbology the most out of anything. Also, be careful if your favorite letter is X. Don't rotate it and then go to a place that are not fans of Christianity. You're going to encounter problems. X is going to give it to you. And it did. Congratulations to you if your favorite letter is X. It's a good letter. I like it. S tier. Forget I said S tier. I just added more confusion to it. Just ignore that. Okay. We're almost there. Y. You think I don't have problems with the letter Y? Of course I do. First of all, the shape. Y. It's like a wine glass symbol. But without the base, so it's very precarious. It's gonna fall. It's always gonna fall. There's no question about it. It's like capital P. It's gonna fall. But worse than P. P has a predictability to where it's gonna fall. It's gonna fall on the fat side. But why? Where is it gonna fall? I don't know. It depends on how you draw it. Because some capital Ys are just one long one in one direction and then like a tiny one in the other. But some Ys are like they meet in the middle. What? Decide. You can't? Of course you can't. Because indecision is part of Y's problem. The lowercase Y is good though. It has the tail. I like tails. But that is where the good things stop with Y. Because remember, A, E, I, O, U, and sometimes Y are vowels. Why sometimes a vowel? Why are you not fully committing to the work? I get it. Times are tough. You need part-time gigs. But just have both. Be both a consonant and a vowel. But no, you're like, sometimes I am a vowel. Sometimes I'm a consonant. Which is true. You, Yukon, Yosemite, Yorick. These are Y acting as a consonant. Okay. But then, sexy, flimsy, curvy, Y at the end. Oh, now you're a vowel. What? Come on. And what's worse with Y is that the pronunciation isn't even like standard necessarily. Some Ys are J or H's in other languages. What? What's going on? It's yucky. It's not easy to use. It's not user friendly, and it's contentious. It's just a mess. Messy. I can't get into it. Anything Y the vowel can do, I can do. The letter I can do. You know? Sexy, curvy, flimsy. Put I at the end. Same. Y at the front. The examples I give you, they're all proper nouns. Or just regular ass nouns. Maybe a verb. What? Yoking? What? Yammering? Do we even need these words? Come on. Get rid of it. Y is just an accident of history waiting to be culled and shot in the head. So your favorite letter is Y. You're not a real person. You exist? Get out of here. Okay, maybe you are. Your favorite letter is Y. Well, that means you're not really paying attention and your name just starts with Y and then you're like, it's my favorite because that's my name. Lazy. Even lazier than the favorite letter of A. Sit down. Shut up. Let people who are actually making decisions make the decisions. Fuck me. Sorry. This is no redeeming value with Y. You know what Y is in French? Y. Greek I. Even the French know that the letter Y is just an I pretending. Get out of here. Go home, Y. Think about what you've done to the alphabet. We have come now to the last letter, Z. If you're American, Z. Z as a shape, it is the opposite of S in the direction of the wigglies, but it is sharper and it has pointy edges. It is a sharp, strong, solid foundation. Small Z is a small Z, not particularly creative. But the capital Z sometimes has like a little belt in the middle. That's kind of cool, I guess. Z is one of the cooler looking letters. It is a sharper S, really. When you write S, some people really want to make that sharp. But no, the sharp angles belong to Z and Z only. Z has a sci-fi quality to it as well. Z type, you know. Nekomajin Z, Dragon Ball Z. There's a lot of Planet Zeebs, you know, sort of. If anything starts with Z, is immediate sci-fi vibes, but is sort of more sci-fi than X because it doesn't stand for any unknowns necessarily. It's just Z. You know, it's there. It also is not a symbol for kisses or for tic-tac-toe. It's just Z. It even sounds like a sci-fi device. The words that begin with Z is cool though. Zorro, Zero, Zip. It's just cool. It's a cool sound to make with your mouth. And it's fun. And it is cool. The cool factor is really high with Z. I respect that. It is not as problematic. I think Z is like X. In that respect, it is one of those highly regarded letters in a grouping of letters that are all just really looking forward to piss you off. But Z is cool. The thing is, it doesn't appear much. It ends words, buzz, fuzz, drizzle, fushizzle. Well, that's fun. But otherwise, it doesn't really appear. It doesn't need to. It's a spice, you know? Excuse me. It's like a spice. You don't want too much of it. But it is cool. Z. Up there. If your favorite letter is Z, you are half step below the favorite letter X person. Because, you know, you're just X, but with a different vibe. X and Z, they even can start the same words and it'll sound the same. You know, and this is me telling this to you, Muzaka Zaina. Z is good. It's a cool letter, but it is cool because everybody knows it's cool. It's like denim jacket or a leather jacket. Like, when your favorite letter is Z, people know you're trying to be cool. And if you're cool with that, then cool. But if you're not, then deal with it. Z. That's how I feel about that letter. And now, with the trifecta complete, you know already how I feel about all the letters. What should I review next? Let me know via Instagram at MZKRX. These are the letters. Go and check that out. I have already a bunch of other things to review in mind. But if you have suggestions, I'm really open to it. Thank you for listening and thank you for supporting this podcast with your money. I will need it desperately sooner than you think. Thank you for listening. I love you. Take care of each other. Wash your hands and be good. Bye.